waiting to see if Joy was going to say anything. She had to have a coughing spell, so she must have been laughing. Oh, mate, Ted, what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to do something to keep me and you both out of trouble. I don't know what that'd be. Maybe if we minded our wives a little better, man, I don't know. Anyhow, you take care. I'll talk to you later. K-O-4-N-U-E in the net. K-I-4-D-O-S.
All right, Gary. You be safe. 73's to you, and I appreciate you talking with me for a little bit. All right, Mr. Patrick, if you're still in there, hang on 1 second. Any station, Alpha through Zulu, please call K-O-4-N-U-E.
Please check it out. Kilo Golf 4, Juliet, India Alpha. KG4JI, Dennis Gaffney. 73, good evening to you on net. Congratulations on the wedding.
Dennis, I appreciate it. I really do. We're just real excited here. So let me go ahead and announce your call. That's KG4JIA, Mr. Dennis, mobiling around in Gaffney. Appreciate you checking in with us tonight, Dennis, and you be safe. All right, let's move on to Mr. Patrick. Patrick, you still on the road, sir? Yes, Dennis. I mean, Patrick's moved on out of range, but let me make one more call here. Are there any more stations? Alpha through Zulu. Please call KO4NUE.
That's KI4DOS.
Go ahead, Gary.
To tell you, one other little quick thing. When I was driving a truck, I always used to give the waitresses a hard time, you know, when we'd go in a truck stop. Of course, back then they had restaurants in the truck stops instead of these fast food things they got now. You sit down and you could eat just about any kind of meal you wanted. I went in one morning and a waitress came over and she said, "Can I help you?" And I started giving her a hard time. And I said, I wanted two eggs over well with bacon and a grit. And she came back with my plate, and she had one grit on the plate, and which is what I told her, so I couldn't fuss. And got through eating my breakfast and started to leave, and she came back. She said, "Would you like some more coffee?" I said, "Yeah, honey, just pour me a cup in my shirt pocket." I said, "And give me a long straw. I got to go." Don't you know, she reached over and pulled my shirt out, poured coffee down in my shirt pocket, stuck a straw down in it. Manager come over and, "Boy, oh, I'm sorry that happened. I'm sorry." I said, "She did exactly what I told her to do." And I turned around and looked at her. I said, "I'm going to leave you a big tip, too, by the way." And she said, "You don't have to do that." And I said, "Well, I'm going to." But when you go into a restaurant like that, be careful what you ask for. You might get it.
Gosh, Gary, that's funny. I'd love to, over the years in my career, I love to ask people, you know, that do different jobs, what's the strangest thing that you've ever seen? So, for example, I spent some time out in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, years and years ago, and me and a couple of friends were going to go out to, you know, go out on the town one night, and so we got us a cab, and he took us out to this little place out of town, and I, you know, asked him, I said, you know, what's the strangest thing you've ever seen, you know, in a cab, and, you know, just things like that. So, as a truck driver, what is the strangest thing that you have ever seen while doing your job as a truck driver?
If it's been out there, I've probably seen it, Chad, so I won't go into a whole lot of that, but I guess the strangest thing that I've One of the things that I don't understand, I guess it would be a better word to put it, it's not something that's strange to see because everybody sees it. You'll be coming up on an accident and or a set of blue lights, and everybody slows down, and they got to turn around and look. We call them rubberneckers because you know, they got rubber necks the way they turn them around. But everybody slows down, and if they would just maintain their speed and let the people do their jobs, I mean, if the road's blocked, you can't do that, of course. If it just happened, you may want to stop to be a witness. But I'll tell you about some of the things I've seen over a cup of coffee one day.
Yeah, I kind of ended the cab story there, too, because I get it. I know what you're saying. But over the years, like I said, I've always asked, you know, different professionals what they do. You know, hey, what's the strangest thing you've ever seen while doing your job? So pouring coffee down your shirt with a straw, and you're right. You know, I'm sure if I ask her that question, that's probably what she'd say. But one grit and a shirt full of pocket shirt full of coffee, that's pretty good. But all right, Mr. Gary, I'm gonna end it there if that's all right. And if you got anything else, I'll give you a pause for a second. If you got anything, Gary, let me know.
Recheck. Kilo 4, Juliet Delta.
Joe, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
I want to let Gary know that my radio was set for simplex. There's a switch on the front, and apparently I hit the switch and didn't realize it. So I thank you for bringing that to my attention. Over.
Fair young man. You know, we don't listen to our own radios, and if something's wrong with mine, I want somebody to tell me. And I figured you probably just bumped a button or something, and but I couldn't hear you on the through the repeater, but Chad got you on the direct. That's the main thing. Other than that, Chad, that's all I've got over here on this end of town. Joe, good hearing you on the repeater. Y'all take care. 73, KI4DOS, back to net.
Gary, y'all be safe. And Joe, glad you got your radio straightened out, bud. And do you have any comments, sir? Anything you want to add, Joe?
Just about how I was just getting ready to hang it up and maybe turn the TV on, but I enjoyed listening to the net this evening, though.
Yeah, well, Gary and Larry are, they're, I guess, brothers from a different mother, I guess, and we always keep something going on and, you know, talk about anything under the sun, but, you know, nice to be able to have that conversation and just have some pleasantries on the radio, you know, during the net and all, but anyway, Joe, glad you got your radio straightened out, and come on back anytime. We'd love to have you. Watch that simplex button. It'll get you in trouble every time. Before I call the net, I reach up and lock. I hit the lock button on the radio. Cause I bumped the dial one night while calling the net and moved off frequency and didn't know it. And, learned my lesson the hard way. So, yeah. Push that lock button once you get your radio set, and we'll have to worry about it. But anyway, I'll let you go. This is KO4NUE for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Are there any more check-ins, Alpha through Zulu? Please call KO4NUE. Just anyone for comments. This is KO4NUE. Go ahead, Daniel. How you doing tonight, sir?
How'd you know it was me?
Oh, that radio of yours makes that funny noise.
You make a funny noise.
Me?
Yeah, overall, I had a pretty decent day, and was just doing some office work and trying to get caught up on some of that, and I ended up trying to take a break. And I had built, we redid our kitchen a couple years ago, and there was a couple things that I wasn't able to get to. And there was two drawers, and they were just like home, like just drawers that were part of the cabinet, and I just hated them, and they were on my to-do list forever. So I had built two new drawers and tried to install it, and daggummit, I built that thing about a 16th over, and it took me off. I didn't build it right.
My goodness. Wow. That's pretty good with wood.
Yeah, I should have known better, but I had measured for the slides that were already attached, and I was going to be installing, you know, those soft closed sliders, and I just built it a little too big, not even thinking about it at the time. But I tell you what, something that took was supposed to be a 20-minute install ended up turning into an hour and a half. Clean up, sand, and everything else to try to get it in there.
Come on, man. Oh, no. Here we go. Go ahead, Chris.
04QOG. Daniel, all you got to do is invite Chad over and give him a big hammer. He'll fix that door.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it needed was the gentle touch of Chad.
Right there.
For that help there, but yeah, it was just off enough that I could not. If I had squeezed it in there, I would have heard about it later, obviously, from the wife, that she wouldn't be able to open that drawer. So I spent so much time. I made this was a finger joint box drawer and everything, and I was like, man, I was so proud of myself. I built this thing with the finger joints and everything, and it looked nice, and I did custom insert for the forks and knives, and then that stupid thing would not fit, and I was so mad.
One thing I don't like doing is cabinets and doors, because, you know, humidity changes outside, and then the fitment changes with the humidity, and I just, you know, wood's just a difficult thing for me to deal with. You know, metal's a little bit different. It's, you know, it will grow and shrink, you know, with temperature and all. But wood just, it does it a lot worse. And it's hard to predict that, you know. But, you know, one thing I suggest is put it off till summertime and let the, you know, air conditioner pull some of the humidity out of the house. And if it's just a 16th of an inch, I bet you a dollar it'd probably fit. I'm just curious, when you built the cabinets, what time of year was it?
KI4DTY. No, I built, so I had done it during the summer last in 2018, I think. But there was these cabinets that were part of the island that I was like, oh, I'll just reuse, you know, part of the cabinet to help save money, but I'll build the rest out. So I built the rest out with all the drawers and everything. And, but I knew I hated this, the cabinet that I was going to use, but I was like, you know what, I'm just going to keep it because, you know, I don't want to throw an extra, you know, $300 at it. And I had built the custom cabinet already, so I knew it would fit. But that drawer, being a 16th, it wasn't that it was just a 16th. It was just that I knew that, you know, if I, you know, even if I waited till, you know, summer where the humidity left, come winter, it would not be opening. So I went ahead and I dated out a little small little six, not even probably a 2/32 a dado on both sides, and I got it in there, but it just aggravated me. I took a FaceTime my dad and asked him, you know, being the son of a cabinet maker, I knew he would have an answer. He was a little sad that I did that, but he's like, just take it off. And then I showed him the finger joints. He goes, I cannot believe you did that.
Well, you know, I've never been too much of a woodworker. I'm not doing any complex things, you know. I can do a pretty good box joint on the table saw. I tried dovetails one time. That didn't work out good at all. So I never did it again. But going back to Chris and talking about, you know, my hammers. So Chris is right. I've got quite a collection of hammers in the shop. Small hammers, big hammers, long hammers. I have lead hammers, Delrin hammers, rubber hammers, dead blows, red brass, yellow brass, aluminum, lead. I don't know. Hammers just make things happen, you know. Especially in a machine shop. You know, if you hit a piece of metal hard enough, you can make it measure whatever you want it to measure.
That was the same thing. I had done construction for a few years, and I worked with this crazy Canadian Frenchman, and he was hilarious. We used to pick on him so bad, but if it didn't fit, I mean, he was a smart man. I tell you what, he knew measurements. He knew how to cut stuff. But I tell you what, something didn't fit. He had this, I don't know what it was. It had to be a 24-ounce hammer, a framing hammer. It was a big hammer. And he'd say, get my framing hammer. I'd go get his framing hammer. He'd whop that stupid thing about 4 or 5 times, and he'd eventually get it to fit. But, yeah, I'm with you there. Get a big enough hammer, you can make it move.
You can do anything you want with a hammer. When I was junior year, junior year in high school, I worked a whole summer as a Gandy dancer, and I think that's where I kind of developed a love for hammers. I spent the whole summer. I don't know how many handles I broke. Doing my deals that summer, but they finally went and started cutting some, you know, cut some actual small trees down there on the property where the railhead ran through, and would, you know, try to put them in the hammerheads to keep me from breaking them. But I finally got good at it, and by the time we got to the end of the track, you know, I was an official Gandy dancer at the end of the summer, and I think that's where my affirmation for hammers came from, I guess. I've still got it down there in the barn. I broke so many handles out of it that they gave me when we got to the end of the railhead, they gave me the hammerhead with no handle.
I'm sure by that point you probably earned it, more than had built some muscle by that time, I'm sure, too.
Tough job, and that's a young man's job, too. But we had one guy on the crew that was, I don't know, I'd say he's probably in his 60s. But, I mean, he was good, you know. And, you know, Gandy Hammer's got a, I think it's an 1 3/8 head on one end of it, and then it's got an 1 1/8 head on the other side of it, shaped like a, with the handle in it, looks like a T, you know. Got a real long shank on it, so you get over the rail or the track with it to drive the spike in. But he was good. I mean, he could get a spike in about, I think, 2 or 3 hits, I believe, if he hit it right. But I don't know how many handles I broke. And see, that's the thing. They wouldn't take me off the job because nobody else wanted to do it, you know. So they just kept putting hammer handles in the thing. And the old man, his name was James, and he'd take his hammer home with him every day. He'd fuss at me if I even looked at his. I guess he's afraid I was going to break the handle out of it or something.
Here, you're going to break it. No, Bree's grandfather, he worked on the railroad. And so, yeah, I know what you're talking about there. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. That's a young man's job right there. I remember I took this guy, his name was Renee, and I took his sledgehammer. He wanted me to knock this wall in position for him. And so I got that hammer. I hit it one time, shattered the handle. The sledgehammer part went flying through to the other side of the wall. And he goes, "Well, I guess we're not going to be using that one anymore."
My grandfather had, he had an old hammer out there in kept in the barn, and I think it's called a cross peen. It's got a kind of a convex head on one side like a normal hammer, but on the other side it kind of comes to a point on, you know, a horizontal axis, kind of like a wedge on one end. And that thing had been used so much over the years that it had started to mushroom and separate on the ends. And granddad was out there driving wedges and firewood one year, and he hit that wedge with that hammer, and a piece of that mushroom flaked off and hit me in the on the lip, and cut my lip. But you know, there's a lot to a hammer, actually. People don't think that, but, you know, if they're not hard, they swell up and mushroom and crack and all. If they're too hard, they'll break. But I love my hammers. I got a guy on eBay up in North Carolina that he makes hammer handles. And, you know, some handles are hard to find, actually. So I'll send him what I've got left of it, and he'll usually make me one. But I got a whole collection of them down there in the shop, and I love my hammers more than micrometers, actually. But I bet you I got 50 of them down there, all in, you know, specific drawers just for the hammers.
We had worked on this house one time, and this guy he didn't do. I like big metal fabrication. He did like little small stuff. But he had some lead hammers like what you were talking about. He had some different ball ping hammers and some different sizes like that. And it was pretty cool to see just his collection of hammers in there. And I tell you, I think he probably had probably close to 20, 25 hammers as well. I think probably the biggest one was the lead hammer. And it was probably a good little, I don't know, maybe like a 2-pound lead hammer. But it was pretty cool to see that. So I can see where you would enjoy that.
KO4NUE and KI4DTY and KO4QLG. So I got your picture today, and was in the middle of traffic, and said, "Well, I'll call him when I get home." But what'd you come up with?
The picture was from Patrick, and I think that's kind of why he maybe wanted to talk to you about. And I mean, Patrick, if you're out there, you can chime in. I actually called you because I had a different question when I called you today.
Okay. Well, I must have got the. It's y'all on a group text, and it's easy for me to get mixed up. That's not hard to do, you know. I get confused pretty easily sometimes, especially with this week. You know, it's just all a blur, and I know I'm just gonna get all sad, you know. And I mean, I'm happy for him. I really am. But, you know, I mean, he's my son. And he's, you know, like it or not, he's a young man. And I guess it's, you know, making that change in your mind as a father that's, can be a little bit emotional. I know it will be, especially when I see him up there in that suit.
Had a few of those, and I can only imagine what I'm going to be like when my boys get married. So I am right there with you. I don't know what you're going through, but I can imagine, just like I said, with what I've seen, you know, as I've been doing this now for 13 years, 14, 15 years now. But yeah, and that's why I called you today, was to check on you and to talk to you for a second, and tell me if I'm not allowed to talk about that on here, but I was calling basically to see if you needed anything.
Good. I mean, being honest, we've talked it out. She gets pretty emotional just talking about it, so, you know, I know it's gonna be a good day on Thursday, but, I'm excited for him. I really am, but I do. I want some grandkids. I mean, bad. Real bad. You know what I mean?
I talked to our kids. My oldest is 15, going to be 16. And we were talking about how me and my wife, we said, well, you know, we're going to want grandkids one day. And I was like, not too soon. Like, I don't need them right now. But I was like, you know, we do want grandkids one day, so don't let us down.
I'm ready for them. I'm ready. I've been stockpiling some gifts for them already, you know. And what, too long ago, I picked up a little youth rifle, you know, short stock and short barrel for, you know, a youngster. And I'm just, you know, I can't wait till, you know, first one comes along. But, and I said the other day, you know, you've got this all mixed up with these grandkids. And I said, what have I got mixed up? And she says, you can't just take the child and just go up to the deer camp or go and do, you know, because I'm always talking about what I'm going to do and, you know, how, you know, what we're going to do together, and I'm going to take him or her there, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and, you know, I just never really thought about, you know, when it's born, I can't take it home with me. That's his, you know, his and hers, so I'll just have to, you know, I'll have to deal with it, I guess. But eventually they'll get old enough to where I can, you know, get them on Bobcat or whatever, and, you know. But I think that's going to be some time away. But I am, Daniel. I'm ready, but I ain't going to lie to you.
I remember when we had our first, and he was actually the first grandchild on both sides of the family. And it was hilarious to see that. And my dad didn't show as much emotion as I thought maybe he would, but I tell you what, my wife's father, he was bawling like a baby. It was hilarious, but no, it was still fun to see them, you know. He would get up, it was funny, so on Sundays, I had started a family tradition when I had moved away, that we would go over to see my family, and so I was the first one to kind of initiate this. So every Sunday or every other Sunday we go and we meet and get together, and it's a really fun family tradition that, you know, I started, and now everybody kind of does it since everybody's now kind of moved out and married. You know, we all get together like every other Sunday. But I remember those first few, you know, that first year, my oldest, let me lay the cycle. my oldest. He got up. He was in the middle of the floor, and if you remember or know anything about, like, the Wiggles or anything, he loved the Wiggles, and he would get everybody to stand up. He was, like, well, I don't know, 2-3 years old, and he'd get everybody to stand up and do the hokey pokey, and my dad, he would stare at my dad until my dad stared. So funny. My dad's a burly guy, and he would stare at my dad until my dad finally got up and did the hokey pokey. It was hilarious.
When my grandfather and I were very close, and he's actually, Lewis is getting married on the day he died, March 3rd. And before Granddad, Pappy was diagnosed with cancer. And he dealt with the pain as long as he could. But when he got to hospice, before he went to hospice, after he was in hospice, they kept him, you know, sedated pretty much. I guess about a week before he died, they brought him out of the sedation or whatnot, and so the family could talk with him for a little while. And he gave me a top 10 list. These 10 things I don't want you to ever forget. And I wrote them down on Post-it note cards, and I have found all of them to be true, and all but one. On Thursday, I'll get to find out. So when I got married, Pappy came to the wedding, and he had on his suit and tie, and when we took the family photos, he had his hands in his pocket on his pants just a little bit so that, you know, the cuff would be a little higher. And we took the family photo, and he's got on white socks, those athletic socks with that, you know, with that brown suit. And, I mean, it's just the gaudiest looking thing. But he told me, he said, always wear white socks, especially to, you know, a main event. Didn't tell me why, but Anna has arranged for me to wear my bib overalls until I get to the venue. And then when I get to the venue, I'm going to change in my suit to keep from getting it muddy. And she said, and you're not wearing white socks. And I said, okay. But trust me, I will have on white socks, and it will be in the photo just to honor Pappy. You know, I can't wait.
I love that. I love you carrying on that tradition. So my grandpa passed away in, 2018, October? And we had a weird type of, you know, I don't know, relationship, but I remember, you know, growing up with my grandpa, and we lived in Connecticut, and he lived in North Carolina, so I didn't get to see him but maybe once every couple years at best. And since we moved back to South Carolina in 2006, I actually got to see him more. My grandpa was notorious for, he would get in the car, and my grandpa loved to go to Georgia and get some peaches. He'd go up to Hendersonville and Asheville or whatever, up in the mountains, he'd get some apples. And then he'd come over and he'd see us, you know, see my family over here in Greenville. And he would just make a surprise visit. We'd never even know he was coming. He would just show up at my parents' door, and we always have a group text going on in the family, and so I'd hear from one of my siblings that, hey, Grandpa's over at the house, and so I'd get in my car, and I'd go over and see him and, you know, hang out with him, and I absolutely loved it. But the last few years, anytime I had a woodworking question or something, I'd give him a call, or he'd actually even show up at the house. You know, he lived in Wilmington, and so he'd come over, and I just was really, really close to him, especially towards the end. But I said all that to say this. I actually was able to get a couple of his tools, you know, which I, you know, love. But one of the things I asked for from my dad, and he looked at me like I was weird. I said, you know Grandpa's zip-up sweater? I said, that's the only thing I would like to have. Can I have Grandpa's zip-up sweater? And I actually have it now, and I love wearing it.
Cool. My granddad played a big part in my life growing up, and I don't know, we just got really close over the years. And he taught me a lot of things, you know, a lot of life skills, and how to make tomato soup. That man could make the best tomato soup in the can. And we'd have grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup. And we'd watch Gunsmoke on Sundays. And Matt Dillon was his favorite character. And mine was Festus. And every time, you know, Festus would get in trouble, Festus would look at Matthew and he'd say, what we gonna do now, Matthew? And he'd get to cackling. Oh, he'd just laugh and laugh and laugh. So, I get it. I've got a couple of his tools that, I keep down there in the shop. I got a special drawer that I keep. You know, men that have poured into me over the years, they have a special drawer in the toolbox. They don't get used. The tools don't get used. They're just, you know. And one of them's, you know, old claw hammer. And if it was granddaddy's, it's just beat up and rusted and, you know. But it's, you know, it's in that special drawer and it was his. And that's, you know, that's where it needs to be.
Yep, I totally get it and understand. Yep. We went and I got some, you know, some of his tools and stuff. Some of them I'm with you. I don't use. It's just like either it's hanging out because I wanted to be able to still see it. But my grandpa was a pilot as well, and so he had airplanes, and I actually, one summer, we had, for some reason, we went to see them. I don't even know why, because it was so rare. But he was working on this airplane, and my grandpa flew experimental airplanes, and that was his thing. They said if nobody would fly it, they knew Yop would fly it. And so they would call him to come fly the experimental airplanes and tell them what he thought and all that. But I remember him building this airplane one summer, and I was helping him with the wings, the fabric and stuff. And he had this the prop, the propeller, and I actually was able to grab it. So I have one of his props that he had for his airplane, and I love having it. But I got his table saw, and it's not the best thing in the world, but I tell you what, I use it. I have it off to the side that I use every now and then, just because, you know, I just like the fact that, you know, here was something that he used, and I have it too. But yeah, it means a lot, and I definitely miss him because, like I said, I was close to him. And I tell you what, when he was not doing good towards the end. He was up in Charlotte, and I was, let me let this cycle. He was up in Charlotte, up at the hospital there, and he wasn't able, he had a stroke, and wasn't able to really communicate that well, but I said, I love you, Grandpa, and I remember him laying on his side, and he had not been responsive at all for like 3 weeks, and he opened his eyes, and he says, I love you, buddy, and I just was like, dang. And I cried all the way from Charlotte, all the way to Greenville, because I knew it was just his time, and I didn't want him to suffer, so. But no, I miss him terribly.
I get it. But, all right, Daniel, I'm gonna have to get on out of here, but I got a big day tomorrow, I've had a big day today, and I need to get a little bit of rest, I guess. My mind's starting to shut down a little bit. But I appreciate you checking on me. And is there anything else? Anything else you got, bud?
Nope, I don't have anything else. If you can, give me a call or text tomorrow, and you can just respond. I'll ask this question, but you don't need to respond over the air. But if there's anything you need from me, you know what I do for a living, so I'm not going to, you know, go any farther than that. But if there's anything that you need from me or you need to borrow or anything or you need help setting something up, please let me know, buddy. I hope you know I'll help you. I'll help do anything you need me to do if it's in my power. So, again, you don't need to respond over the air, but if there is something, just send me a text or call me.
I will. I appreciate that, Daniel. I really do. That means a lot. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to bug on out. I'm going to make one more call, see if I've missed any check-ins, and I'm going to go ahead and shut the net down and secure my station. So, appreciate it. Be safe. All right. Any more comments or any more check-ins for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KO4NUE.
If you would, just check in Kilo November 4, Tango Zulu Whiskey. It's Gabriel. I'm in Hendersonville. No traffic or no comment. Just sound like you're tired like me. Appreciate you calling today. Have a good night.
KN4TZW. That was Gabriel and Gaffney. I'm sorry. My mind is starting to shut down. I don't think Gabriel is right. Let me know, would you?
Yeah, I'm in Hendersonville, though. Get you some sleep, bud. Have a good night.
All right, we'd like to announce KN4TZW. That's Mr. Gabriel, mobiling around in Hendersonville. And you be safe, Gabriel, especially when you're tired. And I'll see you on down the log. This is KO4NUE for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Please stand by for my net report. Okay, I'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73 to all in the net, and it's been a pleasure to be your net controller tonight. This is KO4NUE. I am clear.
KO4NUE, KO4PXB. I'll make it quick. And when y'all were talking about the woodworking, if y'all want a real challenge, I have made a Amish freezer box with the square dowels in a wooden hole, and then you make the little center caps to cover over the plug like a plug cap. And I've also made a table that way, so it's all made with wooden dowels. There's no screws in it whatsoever. You're talking about a challenge and a half.
Like it. In my mind, it's so tired. I can't even imagine how you did that. But I'll get with you maybe tomorrow night and figure out how to do that. But right now I'm gonna have to call it quits, but my mind is just gone. I am showing my tired.
Chad, please be careful and have a great time. And like I said, if you ever need anything, you know how to get in touch with me also.
Appreciate that, bud. And you take care. Lloyd, 73's KO4 NUE. I'm going to turn the repeater off on net mode, and I'm going to call it quits for the night. Please stand by. KO4 NUE.